chapter 3. And then we're gonna finish out chapter 3 today. I think you're going to enjoy it. I'll enjoy it, even if no one else does. Because I just enjoy, enjoy the Bible in general. Have you thought about this? Do you know anyone in the world who does not want to be loved? You ever met anybody who's like, you know what? That whole belonging thing, don't need it. That whole place, sense of having a purpose or a sense of like I fit and I feel like I'm strong in life and I just have this good sense of I belong here. I don't know anyone who doesn't want to feel like that. I don't know anyone who would just say, yeah, it's irrelevant to me, because down deep in our hearts, everyone wants to be loved. Everyone wants to feel strong. Everyone wants to feel full. Everyone wants to feel that way. It's not just you. It's not just me. Everybody has that desire deep in their hearts. But even many Christians don't look to the church and say, this is the place where I feel loved. This is the place where I feel like I belong and I find a sense of purpose and I come away feeling strengthened when I'm with the people of God. Many Christians today in our culture, as well as people who are outside the church who I just don't know. They don't look at the church and say, this is the place I should look for belonging and for love and for strength. Many have experienced fierce judgment instead of love. Many have experienced strong condemnation rather than strengthening, and kind of a pseudo-religiousness rather than the fullness of God. But that doesn't change who the church is called to be and what God's purpose is and God's plan is for the church and for us. I had a friend in Missoula before we moved here, years before we moved here. She was a musician and a very good musician. And she came to visit our church one Sunday. Didn't know she was coming. Didn't. And she came. She walked in the back door, walked into the auditorium, and sat down in the back row and just began to weep. And she just sat there crying. And if you looked at her, you would think, what's wrong? Like, deep brokenness, what's going on? But when I talked to her later, she said, I walked in, I'd never been in your church before. I walked in, and as soon as I walked in, I sensed the love of God and I sensed the presence of God. And it was so overwhelming to me that I just sat there and I wept. God's intent for his church is that we be a people rooted and grounded into his love. And that we as a community learn to be rooted and grounded into that love together. Now, as we're going to read Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 21. But I want to back up into verse 10 just for a second. Because the context here is Paul is speaking to the church about who they are, about God's purpose for them. And he reminds them that it's through the church that the wisdom of God is made known. It's through the church that everything that God is wanting to reveal to the world about himself, everything that the angels are looking into, and even the demons who oppose the kingdom of God, it's through the church that he is revealing his wisdom. And if you want to learn about the love of God in a deep way, you want to learn about what is it to be strengthened in God? What is it to be a person of purpose, a person of faith? All of these core things, You never fully experience them until you get really deeply tied into the church. Because this is how God has chosen to reveal himself to the world. Now, does that mean if you're locked away in solitary confinement in a prison cell somewhere that you can't experience God and you can't experience the love of God? No. He's sovereign. He will break in to any situation, any circumstance. But his purpose for us and his will for us is that we learn, and we learn the wisdom of God, and we display the wisdom of God in the church. So this is the context that Paul continues to write to the Ephesian church in verses 14 through 21. And he says this: "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Whew. So how do we develop a God-honoring, Jesus-revealing culture in the church where people come in and they actually experience this being rooted and grounded into the love of God? Where people come in and they experience this being filled with all the fullness of God. These things that Paul is praying for the church. How do we build this? Do you know where Paul starts here? With prayer. This is a shocker. With prayer. Paul says, because of all these things and because God is wanting to reveal his wisdom through the church, because I want the church to be strong, because I want the church to be full of hope. These are things he said earlier in chapter 3. Because of these things, I bow my knee before the Father. It's dangerous, a dangerous prayer that Paul prays. And we're getting a window into a man who is full of apostolic mission. He just burns. His heart burns for the world. And we're getting a window into the soul of Paul. He says, because of all these things I pray, I bow my knee before the Father. I kind of want to preach almost every word of these 7, 8 verses here. Because there's so much depth and so much richness here for us. He's praying to the Father. He's not praying to a distant God. He's not saying, oh, it's the Master, the Lord. Okay, is God the Lord? Yes. Is he our Master? Yes. But Paul says, I'm coming to the Father. You get to do this. We get to do this. And he begins by praying for the family to be strengthened with power through the Spirit. Strengthened with power. This is God's heart for you and God's heart for me and God's heart for us together, is that we be strengthened with power. So how are we strengthened with the power of God? This is kind of an important question. How are we strengthened with the power of God? I'd say there's three things. I'm not going to preach every one of them. Through prayer, through the Spirit, and according to the riches of God's glory, which is no small thing. We're strengthened with power when we come to him in prayer. It's a very, very powerful, powerful thing when we pray for one another, as Paul is doing here. When we pray for one another to be strengthened with power. N.T. Wright says this. He's one of my favorite theologians. He's an Anglican bishop, I believe. He says, one of the greatest Christian leaders of the late 20th century, Archbishop Desmond Tutu of Cape Town, used to spend several hours in prayer very early in the morning. Nor was prayer forgotten during the rest of the day. In fact, this friend of his that traveled with him said everywhere he went, it was like we would move on to the next agenda item on the day, or we'd travel to the next place. He said everywhere we went, he would stop and pause to pray. And he was seeking the will of God. He's seeking the kingdom of God. And it says this, the Western church has perhaps, the English folks are so polite sometimes. The Western church has perhaps allowed itself to be lulled into thinking that prayer and action are at opposite ends of the scale of Christian activity. On the contrary, those who want their actions to be effective for the kingdom of God should redouble their time and effort in prayer. Prayer brings together love and power. You hear that? Prayer brings together love and power. And we're saying, God, I want to be rooted and grounded into your love. I want to know that everything I'm doing is coming from this place of confidence in who you are, that I'm secure in you. But I struggle with that. Maybe spend a little time in prayer. Maybe spend a lot of time in prayer. And a great way to do this, without letting it become just an individualistic thing, or quite honestly, I can get, just true confessions of a pastor, I can get really bored in prayer when it's all about me and how I feel. But when I begin to pray for you guys, I get fired up. When I start to pray, oh God, let your kingdom come, let your will be done. And I'm going through personally praying for you guys. I'll be in my kitchen or my dining room walking around sometimes in the morning, and I've been praying my Bible and I begin to pray for you. God. In fact, I would spend some time praying this passage, saying, God, let these people, let these families be rooted and grounded in your love together. Let us as a people be strengthened with power. And I get excited. And I start to feel faith rise in my own heart. And you know what happens as I pray for you and as I pray for others? I start finding my own heart being strengthened with power. When the focus is the kingdom of God coming in your life and in our lives together, I find my own heart being even more strengthened with power. And God's intent says this is for your inner being. Strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner being. This whole passage, I'm not going to go through every verb and every noun in this, speaks about the plurality, the church, but it's you together. All these things, when he says you, it's plural. You, plural, rooted and grounded in love. You guys, together, rooted and grounded in love. Our culture tends to take something like this because we don't translate the you all. The Greek is you guys, you people, together. Because we just translate it as you. What tends to happen is the idols in our culture that we grow up with and we don't even know we have or realize we have, the individualism, the idolatry of self, that is very prevalent in our culture, we read it right into the passage of Scripture. And you read you, and you think, me, this is me personally. But Paul is writing to a collective. He's writing to a community. He's writing to the family, the church. And so when we're reading, being strengthened with power, we don't want to lose the fact that he's writing to us together to be strengthened with power. But there's a shift. And he says, in your inner being, and it's you. It's you. It's the individual. He wants your inner being to be strengthened with power along with the church. Don't forget, God loves you personally, even as he has you in the family. No one is overlooked in this, where you go, oh, this guy over here, this girl over here gets to enjoy the depth and the width and the height and all this stuff of the love of God. And I just kind of feel like I get passed over, but praise God, they get to experience that. Actually, God wants you to be strengthened with might in your inner being by his Spirit, right along with the rest of the church. This is for you. Don't forget that. Paul goes on, and he's praying that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. That Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. So how do we find this faith? How do we do this? He dwells in our hearts through faith. Well, I don't want to put you in a place where like, well, I got to stir up some more faith so Christ will dwell in my heart. He is dwelling in your heart through faith. But Paul is praying for an ongoing thing. He's praying that the church is rooted into this. And John Stott says this. Thanks, Donald, for picking up that book last week. John Stott, another Englishman, says, one of the best ways to discover a Christian's chief anxieties and ambitions is to study the content of his prayers and the intensity with which he prays them. The way you pray shows what you are worried about and what you're passionate about. So as we begin to root ourselves into the love of God, and on purpose we begin to come to him in faith, it will impact the way we pray. It will breathe life into the way we pray. I would love to sit with somebody like Paul as he prays for the church with passion, and he prays for the church to be filled with power, and he prays for the church to be rooted and grounded into the love of Christ. I would love to do that. But guys, who's the church in our day? We are. It's as we come together that we begin to pray these things. Faith is stirred in our hearts. And we find this sense of, wow, God is among us. God is dwelling among us. His presence is with us. And our faith is strengthened. As Paul's going through this, it's you, plural, rooted and grounded in love. We already said this. Anchored into the love of Christ together, that we may have strength to comprehend with all the saints the breadth and length and height and depth. We learn this together. We learn to comprehend God's love for us through real relationships. And it actually does take some strength to do this. When he says, I'm praying for you guys that you can comprehend with all the saints the breadth and length and height and depth. Do you know when you get together with other saints, other church people, have you realized that they're not perfect? They have issues. They have sinful areas even in their own lives, or And you get together with the church and you go, oh, gosh, maybe we don't have it all together. It's in that place when we come together that it's hard. But in that place of working through stuff together, Paul's praying that you may have strength to comprehend with all the saints the breadth and length and height and depth. Your strength to comprehend the love of God grows when you're together with the church. And you actually are forced to work through some things with the church. We're called to be a spirit-filled community. It says, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you together may be filled with all the fullness of God. We're called to be this spirit-filled community. And when we come together as a spirit-filled community, it empowers love for one another. We do need to be filled with the Spirit to be able to love one another and represent Jesus in the church. You need to be filled with the Spirit. I need to be filled with the Spirit on an ongoing basis. We do need this. So where do we go from here? So Paul keeps going. And he kind of turns from prayer into a little bit of just kind of, he's kind of been praising as he goes. But in verse 20, he says, now to him who's able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Paul's praying with a really important understanding that we need to grasp this. If you don't get anything else out of this, I hope you get God actually does love you and he wants you to know that. He wants you to be full. You be filled with all the fullness. I hope you are hearing that. He wants you to be strong in him. And he wants us as a church community to be strong in him. But if there's one thing you come away with today, I want you to hear this. You can be aware of some things, even when you might not understand a lot. What Chris and Alex were sharing earlier of saying, we might not see all the that God's doing, and Felix was saying it too. We're in the middle of struggle and challenge. We don't know what God might be doing, and because of this, I met this person, and then this happened. But we don't see it all right now, but we know some things in the meantime. Here they are. God is able to do far more abundantly than all we can ask or think. His ability and power exceeds our biggest dreams and our biggest prayers. You hear this? His ability and power exceeds our biggest dreams and prayers. We aren't coming to a weak God. We aren't coming to a God who can't get the job done because his church is too imperfect. We're praying to a God who is powerful. We're praying to a God whose ability to accomplish his own will is massive. This is the God you're praying to. When you come, it's no small thing to approach God in prayer. When you pray for me or when you pray for one another, it is a powerful thing because you're coming to the God of power, the God of ability. And he can do far more abundantly than you can possibly imagine. It's pretty cool. And he goes on and he says, according to his power at work within us. Okay, so he's a very powerful God, fully able to accomplish his will. And that power is already at work in us now. That's what Paul is saying. This almighty, all-powerful God, his power is at work in you. His power is at work in me. So if we're praying prayers like this, oh God, help us build a healthy church that actually influences and serves and impacts the city of Spokane. God, help us to do this. Help us be a place where those that are in debt, those that are disillusioned, those that are discontent, help us be a place where they can come and find dignity. Help us be a place where they can come and find that they have purpose and hope and life. Guys, he can far exceed those prayers. And his power is at work within us to do it. It's within us. The God who spoke said, let there be light, and there was light, is at work within us to bring his kingdom and his will and his purpose into the earth, to reveal his wisdom to the world around us. He's at work in us. He's at work in my heart. He's at work in your heart. He's doing it. I'm going to come back to N.T. Wright for just a second. We're going to wrap this up. N.T. Wright says this, read verse 20 carefully. Then think of what God might do in you and through you. You as a community, you as an individual. Now reflect on the fact that God is perfectly capable of doubling that, trebling that. I like that he says trebling instead of tripling. Going so far beyond it that you'll look back at the present moment and wonder how you could be so short-sighted. We're going to be getting some stuff out to you guys in the days ahead. Some of you are already receiving it so we can dialogue it and talk through and a big vision for our church. And it's kind of a big, dangerous vision. And I was thinking about it as I was reading this, like, God's capable of doubling it, tripling it, and going so far beyond it that we look back and go, wow, how could we be so short-sighted? Because God, this is the last verse here. As Paul's praying, he says to him, the Father, this Father that he's been praying to, this Father that you get to pray to, that you get to draw near to, Father that's listening to you, that has power and authority. Now to him be glory in the church. Be glory in Christ Jesus. And be glory throughout every generation, forever and ever. God's totally committed to glorifying his own name. And Paul is praying the heart and the will of the Father as he does this, inspired by the Spirit. Father, be glorified in the church. And we can pray that. Father, be glorified in our church. Be glorified in Christ Jesus. Let Jesus be on display in us, in our church family. Let Jesus be what everybody sees when they're looking at Grace Church Spokane and the way we react and interact with one another. Jesus, be glorified in our church. And I like that he says this, in case you wondered, could this really apply to our church? Because he says, throughout all generations. Every generation, it's God's intent that his name is glorified in his church, in Christ Jesus, right now today. This is God's intent, his heart, his purpose, the way he's revealing his wisdom throughout the earth. Through us, his power working through us to love one another, to serve one another, to build one another up. This is a really exciting prayer. We're gonna pray through this prayer on Wednesday night. We're gonna go after this. We're gonna You want to be here Wednesday night. If you can be here. Some of you have class. I know that. Sorry, Gabe. He has a lot of class. Some of us have very little class, but we're gonna be here. Let's wrap this up. Yeah, this world wants to be loved, wants to know love. This world wants to know that it has purpose. Your friends, your family, your coworkers, they want to know that they belong somewhere, that they can be strengthened somewhere and have this sense of fullness, belonging. Yeah, they want to know that. And it's through the church and in the church that God's bringing that answer to the heart cry of people everywhere. I wrote this in my notes. Jesus is building his church to strengthen and to fill broken hearts and hungry hearts and idealistic hearts and disillusioned hearts. And this is why Grace Church Spokane is here. Hopefully that's why churches all over our city are here. It's because God is wanting to build his church to strengthen and fill hearts all over our city. And it's in a praying church family, right? So we come together. We talk about community a lot because we're fighting for that. We are contending for it. We're trying to build church in a different way. And I applaud you guys. I think I keep hearing, because I'm not a part of the Christian Sense home group, but what's happening is so good and so healthy. And we just want to keep multiplying this out across our city. We emphasize the community. When that community is a praying community, a place where we're working out real life, where we're having real relationships together, but we are praying for one another, for us to be strengthened with power, rooted and grounded in the love of Christ, filled with all the fullness of God, praying for that with one another. Look out. Look out, guys. It's a big, dangerous thing. But this is the kind of community that Jesus is building at Grace Church Spokane.